Today's episode is brought to you by Wise, the account that helps you manage your money around the world, which is huge for travelers. I've been a customer and a fan for 10 years. The Wise account helps you send, spend, and receive in different currencies fast, and they do it all without hidden fees or exchange rate markups. This service has been so critical for me in my life as a traveler, as a nomad, as somebody living abroad. And you can join 16 million customers and learn how the Wise account can help you out on the road at wise.com/travel. That's Wise, WISE.com/travel, or download the app. This episode of Zero to Travel is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder with 7 drive modes. The Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
We have our heads down. Life is hard, right? We're going through things at home or whatever it is relationally. And sometimes when we finally allow ourselves to get out and go feel, do, be something different, it hits us in a way we're not expecting.
That is my good friend and today's guest, Jackie Norse, who is here to share her top 5 hidden highlights around the world. What do we mean by hidden highlights? Well, I'll let Jackie explain that.
I really believe in this. These, what we're calling hidden highlights, these are the moments you can't possibly put on an itinerary.
And in today's conversation, Jackie will share 5 of these moments from her travels. Not just that, she also shares the biggest lessons, the takeaways, perhaps the perspective shifts that these moments created. Jackie is a wonderful storyteller, but along with just killer travel stories, I think it's her ability to reflect and to share potential life-changing or travel-altering insights that she gained from these moments. I think that is the real gift of this episode, and I look forward to bringing you this conversation today. Plus, I'm going to give a shout out to a listener who is on the go. I'll share a short 5-minute challenge you can partake in if you would like that may change how you plan or think about your next trip, and a little personal announcement if you will indulge me, plus a powerful quote on fear. It's all happening right now. So buckle up, strap in. Thanks for being here, and welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend.
You're listening to the Zero to Travel podcast, where we explore exciting travel-based work, lifestyle, and business opportunities, helping you to achieve your wildest travel dreams. And now your host, world wanderer and travel junkie, Jason Moore.
Hey, it's Jason with ZeroToTravel.com. Welcome to the show, my friend. Thanks for hanging out, letting me bring a little travel into your ears today. This is the show to help you travel the world on your terms to fill your life with as much travel as you desire, no matter what your situation or experience. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the community. If you're new, if you're back, thanks for continuing to come back as we ease our way into this episode. This was fun because it's not often, surprisingly, that I do almost a full episode of just travel stories in a way. Of course, as I mentioned at the top, there's a lot more coming out of this. Jackie has so much travel experience on her own and, of course, leading groups around the world. She's the founder and host of Jump, the podcast, if you want to check that out, with Traveling Jackie, and the founder of Jump Adventures, where she leads adventure trips for her audience. And anytime I talk to Jackie, she always gives me something to think about, some insight, some fresh perspectives. And it was really cool to be able to hear her reflect on these moments. First of all, I had no idea what moments she would share. I hadn't heard any of these stories before. And then her kind of take on them. So a lot coming out of the show. I hope you enjoyed as much as we enjoyed recording it for you. We're going to get into that in just a moment, I promise. First, if you'll indulge me just for a minute of your time, I have a quick personal announcement. I want to let you know the band I play in, called Laundry House, we just released a new single. It's out on all the streaming platforms, and I will link to where you can find the band in the show notes. I'll give you a little taste of the single. It's called Edge to the Sea. Here it is. There you have it. You can check it out if you want. I put all the links to the band and the streaming platforms and whatnot in the show notes. If you want to make my rock and roll dreams come true, just follow the band if you got a moment. Thank you so much. And we are coming out with a new album. We recorded that in a studio in Oslo just some weeks ago. And now we're working on some of the smaller parts and the mixing and all the other after stuff. And it's been so much fun. So anyway, if you're a music fan and you're curious, please check us out. Thank you so much for indulging me in this little personal announcement now. We are going into my conversation with Jackie. Stick around on the back end. I got a shout out for a listener, a 5-minute challenge that might alter your next trip. And another takeaway I wanted to share that was a great reminder for me. You'll hear it during the interview, and I'll just send you off with that, plus a quote on fear that's very powerful. It's all happening on the back end of the interview. For now, enjoy my conversation with Jackie, and I will see you on the other side, my friend. Thanks for listening. You were counting down with your fingers like we were on a Hollywood movie set.
Well, it was showing me a 5-4.
I know.
Like getting
I love
me
it.
Ready.
I love it. It's getting me in the mode.
I feel like
I'm
on
mode.
A Hollywood movie set.
I feel like I need to be sitting in a high back director's chair with my name on it.
Well, you look like it with the headphones and the microphone.
That's true.
You're super.
That's true. That's true.
Meanwhile, here I am with my headphones.
I'm excited to see you. It's been a little while. It's been a long time since we've actually recorded a podcast. So I should say, Jackie Norse, welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend. Welcome back.
Thanks. It's been a long time.
Yeah,
it's been a while. Too long. Thanks for having me back. I agree.
It's always a pleasure. I mean, Jackie and I, we have like our little phone calls and jam sessions throughout the year. We just don't record them and publish them. But, you know, we came up with a fun list today. I don't know what's on the list, so that's always fun. We're going to reveal Jackie's top 5 hidden highlights, and she'll explain what that means. If you go to jumpadventures.com, that's your tour company, which we should talk about that for a second, because it's fascinating to me, because one of your primary things, you were doing the blogging thing, and then you were doing your podcast, and then you turned it into this whole adventure travel company. Like, how did that happen?
Yes. That's a great question. It all happened organically. I can tell you that much. Can you believe, so this is 2023. We're recording this in May. So guess what happened exactly 10 years ago is when I started my first like proper travel website. I say
congrats.
Proper because I was already, thanks. I can't believe it's been a decade already. But I started it like 10 years into my travel. So I guess it was a long time coming even then. But yeah, so it started with that first website and then the podcast in 2014. That was, I think, when you and I first were introduced, was way back then. And I still can't believe we haven't ever met in person, even though we talk like all the time. So weird. Okay. Let's go back to like one of my biggest dreams, like during college / forever. Because when I was 18, I started studying abroad and traveling the world and being changed and opening my eyes and just becoming educated in the world and realizing how sheltered I had been. And I wanted to create those experiences for other people. And so I actually tried to like take people on group trips way back in the day, but it turns out you need quite a big audience for, you know, enough people to say yes to a group trip for that to happen. So it never really worked, but it was always kind of there, this dream of mine. And starting the blog and the podcast were the ways that I was able to connect with people to help them go and experience the things that I was so grateful to have experienced and continue to pursue for myself as I traveled. But the very cool byproduct of having a podcast and a blog that took off is that I suddenly had this audience that was like actually paying attention and interested in what I was doing. And I thought, hey, maybe I can actually try and do this group thing again. And I did. And in 2016, I led my first group trip to Patagonia. And so that was like the organic flow of things, I guess you could say, that led to me actually leading my first trip. And that went so well that I decided to keep it going. And so the only years we've missed were the COVID years. Otherwise, I've been taking group trips out of the country a few times a year, at least, since 2016. So yeah, in fact, I am right now sitting at the Dead Sea in Jordan. I'm looking at the Dead Sea right now. It is in front of me. I was in its saltiness the other day and smearing mud all over myself with my group that I just led here. And we have two groups going right now. One just ended, and the second one just overlapped mine by a few days, and they arrived to the Dead Sea tonight. So I can't wait to see them. So yeah, it's like happening. I'm doing the thing, and it feels so good. It's amazing.
You're on it. You're on it right now. I mean, well, on the surface, it could be like, well, Jackie's living the glamorous life of the small group tour operator. You know, she's gallivanting in Jordan and rubbing mud all over herself in the Dead Sea. The reality of it's a little bit tougher, right? I mean, you're running a business. And first of all, it's cool for me to hear that you started running, tried to do this group thing way back in the day, because that shows just how passionate you were. Like, it sounds like you were just connected to that idea of sharing an experience with people even early on. How has it been to actually navigate the business side of that? Because there's like the sort of the soul fulfilling side of, but you have to get to the point where you can actually get people on a trip to have that experience. Yeah, that's not always easy.
You know, it's funny because I actually stumbled upon a journal entry that I've written forever. Like, I'm a writer, and I was reading through my journals recently, and I came across one from college that said, you know, maybe someday I can take people on adventure trips like this. I can take them to other countries, and I can be, and this is, I listed all these things. I was like, I can bring the people, like, I can be the guide, I can be the interpreter, I can even be the photographer and like give everybody a CD. This is literally give everybody a CD of the pictures at the end, because this is how long ago it was, right? Back when, like, CDs, what the heck are those? I had all these grand ideas of all these things I was going to do. And it is kind of ironic now, because I look at that, I can't help but laugh, because it's like every one of those things that I listed is a full-time job. And so like, I can't. yeah. So it's been two things. It's been very hard and the most rewarding thing I've ever done. And so, but what I'm really grateful for, because none of it could happen without, it's the people, you know, the people who are actually trusting me. And those first six people that I took with me to Patagonia that said, I believe in you, I trust you with my money, like, I'm going to let you take me very, very far away to the end of the world on an adventure. And so ever since those first six people said yes, you know, it's like, okay, I can actually do this. And I've been navigating what I need help with and what other people can do for me. And then what kind of magic happens when we actually get there, which really is not on me at all. It just kind of happens when, you know, like, up to a certain point, all the paperwork, all the flights, everything is already done. Like, the itinerary is set, and then we show up. And that is where the magic really happens. And that's also where I get to kind of let go, because that's not up to any of us to decide, you know, like, we kind of just show up ready for the adventure and let it unfold in front of us. And it has been, like I said, the most rewarding thing. And I know you're hearing it from me. I wish that I had some of my group members here today so you could hear it from them, because it's seriously like life-changing things happen on these trips. People are digging deep inside themselves to make it up that mountain, or they're not easy trips. These are adventure trips, you know? And so people are really, really giving it all that they have to make it, like, to accomplish something together. And we're bonding over these experiences, and it's neat for me, because I've been doing it by myself for so long, and now I get to share it with other people, and it's just such a dream come true.
It's in those moments when people dig deep and they accomplish something maybe they didn't think that they were able to accomplish. Kind of goes back to a little bit about what you said about your business, which was, you know, it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but also the most rewarding. And I feel like travel in a certain way, particularly like adventures like this, can kind of set you up for those. You know, you can never guarantee them, but you can certainly come across those moments when you're far away from home and you don't know anything that's going on. And some of those difficulties can also be the most rewarding reflecting back. I mean, can you just think like in your own personal travel experience of something that still sticks with you and kind of that same vein?
Oh man. I mean, I feel like I've had it so many times. I get to experience it a lot. I mean, I've been traveling for 20 years, right? But I've had so many moments. There was a time that I lived in southern Argentina in Bariloche, and I spent 3 months there in an apartment that was full of turquoise furniture. It was like my favorite color. Like I had a lake view of the Nahuel Huapi's, the lake down there. It's funny because we just talked about all these big things that we're accomplishing, right? Like, I don't know whether it's a thru hike or a bike ride or something that's kind of epic and big, but it doesn't always have to be those big, outwardly big things. It depends on where you are, right? It depends on where you are in your life. Because I can remember the feeling of the sun on my skin when I was in southern Argentina, because I just had been through a big thing in my own personal life. And I was starting to feel again, like literally, it's like, wait a second, I missed this feeling, you know? And like, I think that this happens to a lot of us where we have our heads down. Life is hard, right? We're going through things at home or whatever it is relationally. And sometimes when we finally allow ourselves to get out and go feel, do, be something different, it hits us in a way we're not expecting, or even in the simplest ways. So, I mean, the memory that came to me when you asked me that was such a simple thing. And it literally is like being able to feel the sun on my skin again after a dark time in my life. You know, like I was having I went through a lot. I became nomadic, was like on the road for 3 years. And this was during the first year of that, when I was in Argentina, and I had been making decisions for myself for the first time in a while and listening to what it was that I needed to do for me. And it led me to this place where I was able to just kind of focus on the healing part, you know, and that can come in a big way or in a subtle way. It can come in a weekend, or it can come in a year, you know, like it's all different for everybody. But it's the fact that I got myself there. I said yes to this adventure, and what was happening in my world began to change, and I began to feel it, and I was open to it, and I could start to become unnumb to what I had been experiencing. I just went really deep with that. But I actually think that happens to people within like 3 to 7 days to 12 days time. You know, like I can see it happen to people on my own trips too. Like you just don't know where people are. You just don't know what type of adventure is going to be exactly the thing that they needed to say yes to at that time in their life, you know? And the magnitude of the things that we accomplished together, like for example, on my trips, like we just did last month, I was in Patagonia leading the O trek. So in Torres del Paine, there's Torres del Paine National Park in Chile is like a famous national park. You may be picturing the towers right now. Like a lot of people have seen it. There are a couple of popular hikes that go through there. One is called the W and one is called the O. And it's just because of the way that they look on the map. The O is like the big circle. And we just did this huge circle. It was like 90 miles of hiking. And that is exactly the type of experience that you need to train for. You got to dig deep for. You're getting rain blowing in your face. We got snow on the pass. But guess what? The sun will come out and it'll warm your skin and you'll be able to see the glacier and see for miles. And it's like, nothing can ever prepare you for these moments that happen while you're out there. Like the only thing you can do is say yes to showing up and seeing what's there for you, watching this adventure unfold and being a part of it. And that can happen in so many ways.
I love it. That's so awesome. I love that you were able to, the gut reaction moment that came to you was just this moment of the sun warming your skin, but everything that led up to that.
Yeah.
you know, to this one small moment. It's that's beautiful. Thanks. I really appreciate you sharing all that. You're giving me some things to think about here, Jackie.
Right? I love that.
What have you learned about yourself for bringing others on trips?
If I'm going to be very honest with you, I think that I have learned that I shouldn't say this because that's not very explanatory, but facilitating these experiences for other people is right now what I'm meant to be doing. This is what I've learned about myself because I went and found it, and that's my story, right? I did it for me, and anyone can do that for themselves. However, it put me into a position where I am able to create those. I'm able to set the stage. I'm able to build the stage and then invite people to come step onto it and write their own story. And that is my purpose right now. And I have learned that. I say right now because I'm allowing that to change if anything changes for me in my life. I'm not going to say like, this is forever what I'm supposed to be doing. But right now, I absolutely feel like this is what I'm doing here. You know, like I am not pursuing a life at home with a family. I'm not doing that. It's really important for some people, but I think that my purpose, my calling is to create this sort of stage to invite other people to step out and I guess live bigger, do something big, what they think that they can't do or something that they find hard and challenging. One of the things I hear on my trips a lot is I've learned that I can do hard things. And that is like, I would love for everyone to be able to say that. And being able to create an environment where someone can come participate and end up feeling like that is so valuable to me. Like that's what I have learned about myself is like, I need to keep doing this because this is worth it. This means something, you know, this is big. It's way bigger than me. I just facilitate, like, it's all about you, but like, this is my role. And so that's again, pretty deep, but like, that's what I have learned about myself is like, this is what I'm meant to be doing for now, at least, you know, like this is good work.
Yeah. And what a gift to be able to know that and to be able to be around that and be actually doing it, you know, and not just thinking about, oh, this is something I'd like to do. One of me, you're out there doing it and making a difference. Well, it's interesting you said I can do hard things because I just read this parenting book. And that's one of the mantras they're saying to the kids is like, you know, you can say to them, oh, look at you, you know, you're doing this. You can do hard things. You can do hard things. So I've started saying that to my own kids. And you're talking about adults saying the same thing. I just am drawing this parallel because it's always a reminder, like we are, although we have these adult bodies, in many ways, we still have like this inner child and we're still have struggles and we're still always learning. And this idea of the, you know, I can encourage my 4-year-old to say, you can do hard things. And it could be the same with a 40-year-old, right?
Yes.
It's good to remind ourselves. Yeah, we can do hard things. I mean, we have to do that for ourselves. It's important, you know, things are scary. Like, you know, even just like business stuff, you start new things. You're like, well, I don't know if this is going to work or, you know, is this coming across right? Or, you know, it's just, you can always question yourself, but I think it's a good mantra. I can do hard things. I mean, maybe that's a mantra coming out of this show we can all carry with us.
Yeah. And we can try at least, you know, I mean, we'll never know unless we try. There's a lot of things that don't end up working, but we would never know unless we try. What if it does work?
We'll get back to the interview in just a moment. This episode of Zero to Travel is presented by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. From muddy jungle paths and snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has the capability to take you to some of the most epic destinations on Earth. We're excited to partner with Nissan because our listeners know we love to celebrate the joy of exploring the world and finding the best off the beaten path destinations to visit. And there's no better vehicle for that than the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. With 7 drive modes, the Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. And it even has the best towing capacity in its class, up to 6,000 pounds so you can bring the fun with you. But Nissan also knows that it's not just about where you go. In a Pathfinder, the real fun comes from getting there. And that's something we love celebrating here on the Zero to Travel podcast. We believe that life is about finding that joy within the journey itself. And that's why we're thrilled to partner with Nissan to celebrate adventurers everywhere. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode of Zero to Travel and for the reminder to chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures and enjoy the ride along the way. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. If you love coffee like me, let me tell you how you can get an incredible cup of coffee, whether you're at home or on the road. You can use what I use, which is the AeroPress. Have you seen this? This is a device that uses a patented 3-in-1 brew technology. It combines the flavor benefits of espresso, pour over, and French press into one compact, portable device built for travel or home. The AeroPress has over 55,000 five-star reviews in 60 countries. Plus, it's the best reviewed coffee press on the planet. That tells you something. And it makes an incredible gift. Under 50 bucks. Get one for yourself or somebody you care about. Pick yours up at aeropress.com/zero to travel. That's AeroPress, AeroPress.com/zero to travel. Use the promo code zero to travel, all one word, to save 20% off your order. That's 20% off. Thank you to AeroPress for the delicious coffee and for supporting today's show. Now, back to the show. Let's talk about this list. This idea of hidden highlights was one of your favorite things. And we're calling this top five hidden highlights. And I should just remind you, Jackie was, you know, nomadic and that she traveled around for many, many years on her own. And now she's been traveling for many, many years, taking groups around the world. So, you know, this is a very experienced traveler coming at us with this list. But I'm curious to hear, well, first of all, we're going to count this down from 5 to 1. We know this is subjective, but in your head, this is going to be like your number one is going to be your true number one. But, you know, take it with a grain of salt. This list could change tomorrow, but these are fun and I like to share them. What I'm really curious about is what you mean by hidden highlights, because we kind of touched on it a little bit before we recorded, but I was like, don't tell me too much because I want you to frame this up and so we can understand kind of the spirit behind the list, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really hope I do this justice because this is really important. Like I said, I really believe in this. These, what we're calling hidden highlights, these are the moments you can't possibly put on an itinerary. So for example, I'm not going to give you an example of a moment. I'm just going to say, when I write my itinerary for Jordan and we're hiking the Jordan Trail to Petra, when you think of Petra, you're going to think of the treasury where Indiana Jones went in and found the Holy Grail. Like that's what you're going to think of. That's what everybody thinks of. Of course, that's going to be like, whoa, the big iconic moment, right? That's what people are signing up for. They want to go and be where Indiana Jones was. Like, and I don't blame them because I'm right there with them, right? Exactly. You're raising your hand. Yeah. But what you don't see in between those words, I mean, you just read hiking the Jordan Trail to Petra. Like, what does that look like? And how many nights are you going to be sleeping under the stars? How many conversations are you going to have with Bedouins who are offering you tea? Like, you can't write those magic moments into the itinerary. Those are the things you take away with you, though. Like, those are the moments that stand out to you in the end. These are the moments that stand out more than the treasury itself. I mean, my trips, we always, generally as we go along, we do this conversation called rosebud thorn. We share our roses, buds, and thorns every day or as appropriate throughout the trip. The rose is the highlight. The bud is something that we learned and the thorn is the low light. And we do this because so much is going on that it kind of helps us anchor in everything that we're experiencing throughout the trip. And at the end of my trips, we always do like one last rosebud thorn. And you know what? You know what's never the highlight of the trip? Like when somebody saw the treasury and was standing where Indiana Jones stood. Like that's not it. It's going to be something else. It's going to be these little moments that you couldn't possibly tell someone you're going to experience. And you couldn't possibly tell someone how they're going to receive that moment. And I think my list is probably going to be different from the next person's, even if we're on the same trip, because it matters where you are in life, who's around you, you know, what you're experiencing, how I mean, everything, how your health is, like how your mental health is, how your heart is doing, like everything matters of how these experiences affect you and what you take away from it. And so I would like to share some of my hidden highlights, which I could never put on an itinerary because I don't know, A, if they could even happen again this way, nor did I even know that they would happen. They just kind of unfold. So
love it.
Does that kind of explain what it is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think you could have said it better. Well, everybody's right there with you. I know it.
Okay, cool.
All right, let's kick it off then. I'm so curious about this list. Give us your number five.
Okay. So my number five, and these, I know we have a number one, but oh my goodness, these can be really kind of in any order. And I'm forgetting probably 87 other things that could be on this list. And so I'm going to give five examples today, but my number five is something that happened to us on the first, on my first trip to Jordan in 2018. So I'm here again. I know I chose the Jordan thing, but this is a very special experience that I never could have known was going to happen. My first group trip to Jordan was in 2018. Yes, we did hike the Jordan Trail to Petra, which is an actual, Petra is actually a giant city. And it was built into the rocks by the Nabataeans like in the first century AD. This is ancient, 2,000 years old. It's not just the treasury. Basically, the treasury is at one end and it winds around through the rocks in the valley. Like it's really big. When we hike it, the Jordan Trail, we come in the back door and we arrive via the monastery, actually, which is a different facade entirely from the treasury. It's gorgeous. We're walking through Petra, like, this is amazing. We're learning all these things. And all of a sudden, my guide starts taking us down this side road. And it's like 100 degrees. We're so hot. We're like, where are we going? We're getting further away from the ruins. Like, we just don't know what's going on. We really didn't. Like, we have no idea where we're heading. We're just trusting our guide as he's leading us, like, ostensibly nowhere. Like, we're going nowhere. We're walking down a canyon. There's nothing ahead of us. There's no people around. We're getting further away. Like, what are we doing? And we turn a corner into like a slot canyon, which we could not see. Okay. We didn't see it coming because it's like so hidden. And we proceed to enter this slot canyon. And we still don't really understand why. And I will explain that. But anyway, what ends up happening is as we get in, there's like this pool of water that we kind of have to like jump over. And there's a big boulder that like kind of, that's what we have to get into to enter this canyon. And all of us are like, are we really doing this right now? Like, where are we going? You know? But here's what happens. We end up having to like help each other through this water section. I mean, it's just a puddle like from the leftover rainfall. And we're hauling each other up over this boulder and we're realizing this is the point of no return. Like, we're committing, we're like entering a slot canyon. And this is when my guide like basically tells us like, this is how we're exiting Petra today. And there's a reason for that, which I'll tell you at the end. But so we go through this slot canyon. If you know what a slot canyon is, like picture Utah, like you've probably seen pictures of like really narrow canyons where there's just cliffs on either side of you that are really high. And I mean, this is what Petra was built within, is like a bunch of slot canyons. And so
this is where like Aaron Ralston got his hand caught in the rock and then he had to cut off his own hand, the famous. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was one of those kind of places. And we loved it. We called it the Indiana Jones hike. And one of the guys busted out his phone and played the dun, 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 you know, like played the Indiana Jones theme song. And before we know it, we are obsessed with all of the scrambling and climbing and like, it's getting narrower. It gets open. There's a boulder above us that we have to climb underneath. Like, it was so much fun. It was like parkour, like in a slot canyon. And we start hearing these bells. And we're like, what's happening? Like, we're by ourselves in this canyon. All of a sudden, this goat sticks his head out from behind. Like, he's behind us. He comes out of the slot canyon behind us. Like, somehow this entire herd of goats has been following us into this slot canyon. And all of a sudden they're like, I mean, goats are not threatening, right? Like, but there's like this herd of goats with other, their bells dangling on their collars, and they're watching us with their cocking little heads, and they're like kind of closing in on us, and we're like, oh my god, like the goats are chasing us, like we gotta keep going, because the canyon's narrow, right? If they catch up to us, we're gonna be like in a herd of goats. Like, it was just, it was so funny, and just such a moment of like hysterical, nothing but the present moment, just bliss with the music of the Indiana Jones, and just like smiles everywhere. And before we know it, like, I mean, we spent, I didn't even know how long it took us to get through this canyon, and we come out and we're right at the beginning of the Seek, which is another slot canyon, which actually is the entrance to Petra, which at the end of the Seek, it reveals the treasury. It opens up to the treasury. And so the reason that we took the Indiana Jones route is so that the next day, which is what we did, we could properly enter Petra through the main entrance and see the treasury and the Seek in the way that it's meant to be seen, which is absolutely magical. But the Indiana Jones hike, not on the itinerary. Like, all of our highlight from that trip, so much fun. I mean, we still share memories of that and the goats chasing us down the slot canyon. Like, it was just, you can't write that. You can't even... In fact, this year, this is sad, but this year, that canyon, so I had mentioned that we went under this giant boulder that you had to kind of like walk underneath. There was a flash flood recently that filled in that whole section. And so the canyon's actually closed right now. So we couldn't even do it again this year, which, I mean, these are the things that like you just don't know, right? Like, say yes to adventure. And when your guide invites you to go do something, you say yes. Like, you say yes to that every time. Oh, man.
That sounds incredible. Well, literally like a hidden highlight, but literally hidden. Like, it was a hidden slot canyon you
literally
couldn't have found on your own.
It was. No, and we never would have known. We never would have known. And I mean, it was pure trust that we went out there following him in like, oh, man. And it just was, it's such a good memory for me. So that's my number five. Which is amazing. Kind of amazing,
wow, okay.
Because I feel like it deserves to be a number one, but that's my number five. So should I move to number four?
Yeah, let's get into it. I mean, if that's number five, I'm really curious about the rest of the list.
I know. So number four happens in Patagonia, and I have several different trips within Patagonia because it's huge. So Patagonia is the bottom, basically, quarter or 25%-ish of both Chile and Argentina. So it's the southern tip of South America, and it's in both Chile and Argentina. I had a trip in 2019 where we went to Aysén, which is a region in the central Chilean Patagonia. So Chilean Patagonia is super long. There's three regions just on the Chilean side. This is the middle region, which means it's the middle of nowhere. Nobody goes there. And it's on the Carretera Austral. If you guys have heard of that, it's the Southern Highway. It's like where you road trip down and you have to ferry, and like the road doesn't even connect. It's just, it's an incredible place. And I road tripped down there in 2017-18. And that is what inspired me to do a trip there in 2019. So I brought a group down. We're in Aysén, and I knew, and this part of the itinerary was new for me. I knew we were going to trek out to a glacier, camp, and trek back. And that's like all I knew. We were going to camp out there. It was a 10-kilometer trek both ways. So that's fine. Like, we're going to hike out, camp at a glacier, come back. I was a little nervous about it because I was like, oh, the weather in Patagonia, like, it might not be super awesome for us. Like, we could just get winded out. Who knows what it's going to be like? We're going to have to hike in, hike out, whatever. Oh my gosh. We get out there. I mean, it was a very easy hike, first of all. It's like pretty flat. So we hike 10K out there. We get into this boat, a boat. They hauled a boat out there. First of all, like, there aren't roads. There's a reason you have to hike in. So these guys hauled, I think they used cattle to haul, or like oxen to haul a boat out to this glacier lake. Like, it's right up against the Southern Patagonian ice field. Like, this point of access, zero cars, no road. So that's just a feat in itself. The water is turquoise, like the most amazing color. The sun shining, there's no wind. Like, it was perfect weather. So we get in this boat, we get out to the camp, we like unload our stuff, we get back in the boat and drive, like we take it right up to the glacier. Like, we're going and we get off on this rock, like this kind of rocky shore-ish area that's just right near the front of the glacier. It's right in front of us. Like, we can just, I mean, we're just, it's amazing. Like, blue skies, sun is shining, giant glacier that like no one sees because they'd have to hike in. I didn't know it was there when I drove the Carretera Austral like years before. I just didn't even know it was there. We skipped it. We went right by it without knowing that this amazing experience was right out there in the woods. But these are the best stories. So the guides proceed to lay out a blanket and create this whole like charcuterie board with fruits and meats and cheeses. They're pouring wine for us. And we're just having like, holy goodness, like this is our life right now. We're like playing on the rocks, taking pictures in front of the glacier, enjoying these delicious snacks and wines. And like, I mean, honestly, Jason, these are how my trips roll. Like, it's so freaking rad. And after we have our snack, the guide's like, hey, do you guys want to climb up there? And like I told you, if you take anything away from this, you say yes when the guide asks you if you want to do something, right? So we were like, yes, of course we do. So we hike up, we're all hiking up to this spot. And it's just like a little further up in the rocks than where we had been picnicking on the shore, right? And we get up there and everybody sits down. Like, everyone's just like kind of finds their own rock to sit on, and silence. No one spoke for like, I don't even know how many minutes. We all just sat. It was like this energy. It wasn't planned. Like, we didn't say, hey, let's not talk for a minute. Like, everyone just sat down and faced the glacier, and the sun was shining in our faces, and like, it was just quiet. It was so quiet. And we had like, you could feel the energy of this like collective gratitude. I don't know what it was. It was so powerful. It was so powerful. It must have lasted, I don't know, like 5 or 10 minutes. Like, it was actually kind of long. It was incredible. And everyone participated. I mean, everyone. I think we have a few photos because people snapped pictures. That was it. It was so special. It was so special. No one around, no planes.
Getting chills just hearing about it. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So that's my number four.
Epic. Wow. Okay. So we have the magical slot canyon. We have the charcuterie glacier followed by the energetic silence filled with bliss. What's like next?
Moment of yeah. Okay. We're going to change gears on the next one. So my number three happens in Croatia. So I have a bike and boat trip that we do in Croatia. And this is where I actually charter a whole boat that has cabins in it, and we have bikes on board. So we go island hopping in Croatia. We sleep in the same room every night on board, but we take our bikes out and get to do these rides in Croatia on different islands every single day. And
wait, hold on. I got to stop here for a minute. If there's ever going to be a zero to travel trip to Croatia, do we have to go with Jackie here? This sounds incredible. You know,
what are you doing in August? You want to come? You should come with me. I have room for you. Come with me, Jace. We got to do this. We got to meet in person anyway. Maybe we can do it in August. True. So we're on the boat. And if you've ever been to Croatia, actually, I don't know if they do this everywhere, but this is this happened in 2021. This was a COVID postponed trip, but this happened in 21. I was on a bike and boat trip in 2019, and I was also on a sailing trip in Croatia in 2015. So this is my third boat trip in Croatia. And one thing that is common throughout, even if the crew, the boat, everything's different, there's always a captain's dinner. So have you ever done this? I don't know if that's like a thing. Like, honestly, I've only ever done boat trips in Croatia. So, but there's always a captain's dinner. And what captain's dinner mean is that the captain actually cooks the meal. So on the boat, there's a crew. The captain is usually Sometimes he's the owner, sometimes he's not, but the crew is all like employed by the owner of the boat. So they stay with the boat no matter what. And they usually contract out to this company that then brings bike tour guides and bikes. And then like I work with all of them to create a big, awesome thing, right? So the crew is responsible for feeding you and like making sure your linens are good and just like keeping the boat, moving and in good shape and stuff all week. And so while we go play with the bike tour guides and all of that. So the captain's dinner is where the captain actually makes the meal. And he's not usually the chef. He's the captain of the boat, right? And so there's a different chef on board. But for this night, he cooks, or if he wants to, I suppose, maybe he doesn't have to, but it's a night that kind of celebrates the captain and like the boat and the crew, you know, it's like almost, it's one of those things that makes you, just feel really close to these new people. Even if you don't speak their language, like you're just making friends with the crew anyway. And so captain's dinner is always a really fun night and it generally includes dancing. So we're on our boat in October of 2021 in Croatia. And the captain makes this awesome like meat spread. It was like sausages and like all these different kinds of meats and like potatoes, which I just kind of thought was adorable. That's what he decided to make. And after we eat dinner and we eat everything, like this music comes on. It was like something from the 70s. I almost want to say, what was it? No, it was like a Frank Sinatra. It was a waltz. Okay. Forget all of what okay. I just said.
Like a big band kind of situation?
Yeah. So like, because I remember the captain came out and I mean, he didn't speak English. So our guides were always interpreting for him. But they said, we need a volunteer, somebody to dance with the captain for a waltz, for the first like waltz. And so everybody's sitting there thinking like, wow, this is going to be like a formal dance. Like we're going to be like waltzing on the boat in Croatia, right? And so somebody volunteers. So we actually had 2 weeks of this. So I'm thinking about both of the women that like volunteered to dance with the captain at this moment. Shout out to Kit, shout out to Ashley, because they were both the ones that said yes to this. So they get up and dance this beautiful waltz with the captain. And this is on the first week. So none of us really knew what was coming. All of a sudden, at the end of the waltz, when everybody's like, oh gosh, like, I'm not up on my ballroom dancing. Like, what are we going to do? Like, this is going to be really interesting. You know, the lights go down, party disco lights come on, like blue flashing, like boom, boom, like, and music. And we're like, oh man, like we had, and like they threw on, I think it was like Dancing Queen or something totally cliche. But it was just like the change of energy from like this formal waltz with the lights on and like everything to just like, boom, we're here to party. Like we're going to dance tonight. Like everybody's like throwing chairs and getting up and dancing. Like it was so much. We didn't even know these lights existed on this boat. Like where did this even come from? All of a sudden there's like laser lights and disco balls. Like we've been on this boat all week and never knew this was there. Oh my gosh. It was so
good. Hilarious. Hidden disco balls.
Exactly.
Hidden disco balls, right?
Hidden, yeah.
It's as if you went from the top deck of the Titanic where they had, you know, the fancy schmancy boring posh party to the below deck where everybody's like jigging and having a
yes!
good time and, you know.
That's hilarious. A good, yeah. No, that totally is. Like,
you went from formal to Euro disco in like
mm-hmm.
12 seconds. That's awesome. That mm-hmm. sounds amazing.
And that night at like 2:30 in the morning, we're like singing Croatian songs together, like putting our it was so amazing. We made our neighbors really mad that night. But you know what? It happens. Whatever. It's
yes,
captain's dinner.
Yes,
so yeah, but that's not on the itinerary. I mean, that stuff, you just don't know. Like that was so much fun. Oh, so good.
What happens at captain's dinner stays at captain's dinner.
Right? Right? The rest of it we won't talk about. Okay. Are we ready for number two?
Two more. Yeah.
Okay. Number two actually just happened this week. It was very special. And so I'm in Jordan, as you remember, as we're traveling the world with these stories. But one of the places we go on this Jordan trip is in the very south of Jordan, there's a big valley called Wadi Rum. And you guys might know it without realizing it because it's where a lot of Hollywood films Mars. That's where they go, like, on for a location to film Mars. So, for example, The Martian, Matt Damon, that was there. I haven't seen the movies that are, but there's a bunch of stuff that they filmed, including if you've seen Rogue One from Star Wars. Okay, I've seen this one. Jeddah, that's a planet in that movie. That's filmed there. So it's like otherworldly. It is very otherworldly. Wadi means valley, and rum comes from a word that means heights. So it's like Valley of the Heights, because like the highest peaks in Jordan are in Wadi Rum, but you wouldn't think of that when you think of like a desert valley. But these rocks come out of the floor and just like, it's amazing. It's really, really, really crazy to see and explore. And I mean, we do like Jeep tours and go, I mean, yeah, we get to play around on Mars for a while. And we just did this a few days ago. And there was this moment. So we stayed in domes. They're called Martian domes. They're like, it's like glamping domes, you know, geodesic domes with beds and showers and everything inside. And at our camp, they had a bunch of camels. And one of the things they love to do is just send their guests. It's not far, but they send their guests on the camels just to a nearby spot that's in a better vantage point to watch the sunset. And so we all got on camels, and we only walked for, it was like 15 minutes. It was, camels are actually quite uncomfortable. And so I was really grateful that it was a pretty short little walk over to the sunset spot. So it's like, we're just going to watch the sunset. We're going to come back and have dinner. Like, no big deal. Like, this is going to be really cool. Like, we're going to watch the sunset over Mars, you know? And we get over there, and all of us, like our whole group, is just kind of chilling in the sand. Like the camels are nearby. We're just kind of chatting as the sun's going down. And one of the girls who's sitting down in the sand just draws in the sand. She just draws Jordan 2023. And I'm standing above her watching her write this. And I'm thinking, this is so sweet. Like, it's just special. Like, I just want to take a picture of this, right? Like, the sun is about to set. This is written in the sand. And then I don't even know whose idea it was. We all started putting our handprint in the sand around this Jordan 2023. Like, it was so neat because everyone participated. Like, there were 14 of us. There are 14 handprints in the sand all around this Jordan 23. And I mean, the sun, we've got like minutes as the sun is like about to disappear, right? And I have my GoPro and I'm like, guys, let's get this picture. Like, we can do this. Like, we've got time. And we all just like sit down around this thing that we all just like created together. And I throw the GoPro up and we're taking pictures. And like the sun starts to set. And we all like are trying to get these images that like these pictures came out so good. Like, two of the girls sat in front of this picture, this Jordan 23 with all these handprints. They sat facing the sunset, and they did that little hand heart. They put their hands together. They're best friends, and they put their hands together for this heart over the sunset. And it's like maybe my favorite picture from the entire trip. And it all happened like so fast and so organically because one girl just decided to draw this in the sand, and then everybody started putting their hands down. And it was like such a group effort that created this whole moment that was like, wow, it like almost made me cry. It was so moving, and it was so simple, and it was so special. It was so special. And that's where we sat and watched the sunset over Mars. Yeah.
If you're able to like send me any of these pictures, I don't know how that works with everybody in the picture and stuff,
oh, yeah, but
I can always post this up with the show notes. People can kind of get the vibe if you're able to. No worries if you can't.
I absolutely will. No, I've got them. I will send them to you. It's like, so pretty. It was just so, I just never, like, I couldn't, I'm standing there like, we just like rode a camel over here. I wasn't prepared for this moment that like meant so much to me. And I mean, I don't think it was just me. I think a lot of people felt it too. It was just the golden light of sun, like everything was just like, wow, that just happened. Like, it was just special. It was just special for those of us that were part of it, you know, and seeing all of our handprints there. I don't know. Like, we left our little handprint in the sand in Jordan, and it was just special. So,
oh, incredible. I mean, it must be nice to kind of, as we lead up to the number one, it's nice to just sometimes take a little time just to remember these moments, right? like we're doing, you know, you've been generous enough to kind of put together this list and share this with us. I just want to, before we get into the number one, maybe that's something we can all walk away with as travelers from today's episode, is maybe everybody can just like, you know, whether it's sharing it with a friend or just with yourself or writing about it or whatever, maybe everybody can just pick their own sort of favorite hidden highlight and just like reflect on it and really put yourself back there. Cause I can tell as you're telling these stories, you're really putting yourself back there. And I feel like so much positivity coming through this recording here, even though we're not together in person, but it's making me feel good. And it's reminding me to reflect on my own, you know, those hidden moments, those hidden highlights that have been just these profound, like you said, what did you say? So simple, but really profound in some way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just moving. Yeah. I'm beaming right now. Like this is lighting me up just to tell these stories and remember these things, because there's another element to this. And it's that, yeah, you know, like I've spent a lot of time alone on my travels, and every single one of these things couldn't possibly happen without the group there. Like they all had to do with everyone. And that's so special to me too. Cause that's, I mean, you know, there's a collective energy when people come together. And so, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, that sounds epic.
So this is where we break for a commercial before number one. I'm just kidding.
We'll be right back.
The drum roll. We'll be right back.
We'll get back to the interview in just a moment. Here's a quick powerful exercise. If you think about one or two of your big goals, and then you fast forward a few months from now, what can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If one of those goals for you is learning a new language or even just a little bit of a language to enhance your next trip, you should absolutely get Babbel. They have quick 10-minute lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts. You can actually start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations, exactly what you want as a traveler. I just downloaded it and went into the Norwegian course area thinking, oh, I've got this. Immediately made a bunch of grammar mistakes that they corrected. And I was like, oh, I've been doing this wrong. So I'm already leveling up and learning. And you can get Babbel now. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/zerototravel. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/zerototravel, spelled babbel.com/zerototravel. Rules and restrictions may apply. Thank you to Babbel for supporting today's show. Hey, Jason here. Did you know we have a free weekly newsletter over at zerototravel.com/newsletter? I put my heart and soul into this newsletter and love keeping in touch with listeners off the podcast. That's where you can find out about all of the latest and greatest events, trips we're planning, and of course, you're going to get money-saving travel tips, destination advice, all kinds of stuff to provide value and help you add more travel into your life. So why not sign up? Again, totally free, no cost at all. zerototravel.com/newsletter. Excited to welcome you into that community. Thanks for listening. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, Shall we go for it?
I mean,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. How do I start this one? It's so special. This happens in Patagonia as well. And this is in the very south of Patagonia. So where I was mentioning Torres del Paine National Park with the W and the O trek, this is on that route. And that trip specifically, that area is very special to me because it was my first group trip ever. And it was the place before I brought a group there that I decided, I'm going to try this again, this group thing again. I'm going to bring a group here, you know, and that was where I had my first successful jump adventures trip. So this region just means a lot to me for a lot of different reasons, but this happened last month. Wait, hold on. Where are we? This is May, April. Okay. A few months ago. This was in February. No, this was in March of this year, 2023. So it was like 6 weeks ago. I can't believe I was doing this 6 weeks ago. This trip this year was the O trek, which is the 90 mile, like the big one. We're going all the way around, hiking all the way around, the Paine Massif, which is like a tiny little mountain range, off of the Andes in the very south of Chilean Patagonia. And it also touches the southern Patagonian ice field. So we were just at a glacier, a region to the north, and now we're moving a region to the south, and we're still on the southern Patagonian ice field. And Glacier Gray is the big glacier that you see when you hike in Torres del Paine National Park. A lot of people listening are probably going to be familiar with Glacier Gray, because if you've been there, that's the one that you see. This is the one that you can go trekking on it. You can go kayaking around it. You can take a boat up to it. And when you're on the O, you hike all the way around the backside of the mountains, and you come over this pass, which is the highest point on the trail. And in front of you is 42 kilometers of Glacier Gray. Like, it stretches just from left to right. Like, you can see the whole thing from above. It is absolutely amazing. And that day is the hardest, biggest day on the hike. It's about 15 miles. There's a lot of elevation gain. It's quite steep on the other side coming down towards the glacier. And all day long, you just have this glacier on your right that you're just like hiking down with until you get all the way to lake level. And so you're hiking with it so much. Like, there's so much build up to this glacier. Like, it becomes part of the whole story. Like, it becomes a really important element of this trek. And the next day on our itinerary, we have what we call a rest day. And I'm doing that in quotes, because that's the day that we actually decide to hike on the glacier. And so you get to go onto the glacier. We're walking around. I mean, we're going in and out of caves. We're drinking from pools right out of the water on the glacier. Like, it's truly incredible. And after that, this is all like setting the stage for this story. We took a little walk down to this, I guess, for lack of a better word, there's like a little bay that's very rocky where a bunch of icebergs collect as they calve off of the glacier, and they get kind of blown into this bay where they just kind of collect. And it's an incredible place to sit and just watch them, because sometimes they'll flip. We watched one of them flip right before our eyes. Like, there are condors soaring overhead. Like, it is so, oh my goodness, powerful to just sit and be in Patagonia and let the wind embrace you and just like watch. There's always something to watch. Like, there's just stuff going on. Nature is incredibly powerful down there. And one of the things that we like to do on our groups, this is going to be a little bit of a spoiler alert, but it's even better when you do it in person, so you can still experience it. But we bring whiskey and we go down to this bay and we go down to the water and collect ice and bring it back up and present everybody with like this, we've got glacier ice and we've got whiskey to drink. And I give everybody these little Jump Adventures little stainless steel carabiner mugs that they can just clip to their packs. So we all brought our mugs down. So I had told everybody to bring their mugs, and they're like, okay. And we're down at this bay and we start breaking up the ice and, you know, pouring everybody some whiskey. And we just cheers whiskey over glacier ice down at the water in front of Glacier Gray with like condors soaring overhead. And it's truly, I mean, there were three this time that we were watching just circling over us, and the sun is shining. We got so lucky with the weather. Like, we're just having this incredible moment, right? That part has always happened, but it's what comes next, which is why this is my number one.
The hidden highlight.
Here we go. Yeah. Even though we definitely don't put that we're going to cheer some whiskey over glacier ice.
I mean, that's already hidden, I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, that's already hidden. But we did something this time that I've never done before. And this was also quite organic. We had a pile of glacier ice kind of sitting on the rocks in front of us, like just a little bit that we hadn't used, right? And we started picking it up, and we decided collectively, like, some people had already kind of started wandering back to the refugio, like, totally fine, we're kind of at free time at this point, you know. And for the rest of us that were there, we decided we're going to throw this ice over our shoulders back into the water, kind of like when you throw a coin into the Trevi Fountain in Rome. You know, like, you're supposed to turn your back to the water, and you're supposed to make maybe you make a wish and you throw the coin, and that means that you're going to come back to Rome. In case you didn't know that, I have done it every time and it works. So we're at, you know, on top of the rocks. We've got quite a bit of we're above the water a ways, so we've got quite a bit of space between us and the water, so you know we got to chuck these things really hard, right? So we actually took a video. We have a video of all of us counting down and throwing our glacier ice really hard back over our shoulders back into the water, and we all made a wish. And I mean, it was hilarious and very special. I mean, it was hilarious because the wind was blowing, and like one of the glacier ices almost came and hit someone in the head because the wind was blowing so hard. But some of them made it into the water, and all of us were just like, I mean, you could feel the happiness. Like, you could feel the energy and just like the excitement. We really took a moment to come up with our wishes before we threw this, and we did it all together as a group. And it was so special. It was like so powerful to have this moment where we're like, I don't know, just after climbing on the glacier and seeing it for days and just like getting to drink straight from it and like, okay, let's put this piece back. Like, let's come back here again someday. Like, let's make a wish with this. Like, let's just make this our moment. It was really nice.
You're not going to reveal your wish to us, are you?
I'm not going to, but you know me, it was deep.
I guess you still remember it. So that's good. Has it come true?
I do. It's coming true. It's yeah. And it's going to continue to come true. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, we teared up. Like, it was such a special moment down there. And we sat and just like kind of just sat arm in arm. Like, we just like soaked it all in. We didn't leave right away, you know, like we just let it soak in. And the next day we hiked out of there. We left Glacier Gray. So that's how we left it. It was so special. So that's my number one.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing this today. It was so fun and so nice. And I mean, if some of these sound pretty nice to you too, like, you know, watching the sunset on Mars or, you know, attending a waltzing disco party or any of those things. Jackie can't promise any of those things because they were hidden highlights. But of course, you can hear about the kind of stuff that Jackie does over at jumpadventures.com, where she runs the trips. If you end up going on one, tell them I sent you. Tell them Zero to Travel sent you, and I'll send you a little special gift for your trip. So make sure you do that. I've been wanting to do a trip with the Zero to Travel community for a while. And anytime we do these kind of things, I'm always like, send me an email if you think you'd go on one of these trips. I mean, maybe we could organize something down the road. I don't know. We could see. I'm still trying to get you to Norway. I feel like we were very close, but now I'm going to be out of town when you could have maybe potentially been. So anyway, whatever the moment comes, it's going to be one of my hidden highlights when I actually get to high five you in person.
Yes. I can't wait for that day. I know.
Who knows where it'll be? Maybe it'll be over a whiskey glacier with a glacier on on the rocks, I guess. Or is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. The glacier is the rocks, I guess.
On the real rocks. Yeah, glacier on the rocks. Whiskey on the glacier? Yeah.
Yeah, whiskey on the glacier rocks, something like that. All right, well, the other thing I wanted to mention is it's cool to think about the interplay between, you mentioned all of this things, of course, not being able to happen without the group dynamic and sort of the group energy and stuff like that. But it's also the environment. So the interplay between sort of a group and the environment and how, you know, it just comes back to that collective type of mentality where like everything is sort of intertwined and, you know, these things can't happen without the other. That's just interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is cool. It's like an intersection of everyone's on their own paths, but there are these really powerful moments where all of those paths intersect in the same silence or sunset or whiskey cheers or whatever it is, you know, like that's really powerful. Yeah. And there are always, I can't guarantee those exact ones. I will guarantee hidden highlights though. They are my favorite parts of my trips because they always happen and I'm always so excited to see what they are. And I mean, it's like those moments where you're realizing you're having a moment in the moment that it's happening, you know, it's like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, oh, I love this. And then when you asked me later, what was your first favorite part of the trip? I'm like, well, you know what? There was this day that we went down to the water, we shared a whiskey and we had a wish. Like, and you're like not going to be expecting that to be the story I'm telling you, right? Like, it's just, but those are the moments. Yeah. Those are the things that we take away. Those are the things we take away. That's what makes it so special.
JumpAdventures.com. We'll link to it all in the show notes. Anything else you want to share here? Or is that,
I don't know. Thank you for listening. Thanks for joining us on this ride. And yeah, I'm excited to be able to make more of these very cool memories with more people every time we go. So maybe that'll be you guys. It'd be awesome. Yeah. Maybe that'll be you, Jason. You got to come. We got to figure this out.
We got to figure it out. We'll figure it out right now offline. Yeah. All right. We'll let you go. Thank you so much.
That sounds good. Okay.
Look forward to having you back in the near future.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thank you.
All right. Take care. There you have it. Thank you so very much to my friend Jackie over at jumpadventures.com for stopping by. What a wonderful gal. And always love chatting with her and getting to hear her travel stories. And I'm wondering if this brought up anything for you. I do want to leave you with that challenge. We kind of teased it out there in the interview as it came up. I mean, it just came up organically. But this idea of taking a moment or 5 minutes to just reflect on one of your own hidden highlights and just consider that. And then the question I wanted to ask you is, if you were planning your next trip now, or you're going to be maybe planning it sometime in the near future, how can you plan your trip or think about your next trip in a way that these moments have a better chance of occurring, let's say? Of course, the idea behind hidden highlights is that it's not something you could put into an itinerary. So these magical moments that happen unexpectedly. But is there a way, a particular mindset perhaps, that can create an opportunity for more of these types of moments, or a way to structure a trip that can build in a greater potential for these moments to occur? Something to ponder, something to think about. So I wanted to throw it out there. But at the very least, I think all of us spending just some minutes reflecting on a hidden highlight of our life, that just, that, at least for me, it puts me right in a good spot. I feel the gratitude welling up because the moments that are just flashing through my head, this little montage is, you know, a lot of it often involves in some way the kindness of strangers, some unexpected encounter with a local, those types of things. And that just reminds you of the wonderful gifts that are waiting out there in the world when you take off and travel and put yourself out there. So enjoy that little challenge if you want to take it on. I do want to give a quick shout out to a listener. Speaking of traveling, I wanted to also apologize to Patricia. She did write me an email when she was coming through Oslo, Norway, where I'm based, asked if we could meet up for a coffee or a drink, but I was out of town, so I wasn't able to do that. But I wanted to just give her a quick shout out. She was traveling on a Ural Pass through Europe. She had pretty recently spent time traveling in North America in a camper van, all the way to the Arctic Ocean, then in South America, and on to Antarctica. So she's been all around. She's out there traveling. She might be listening to this now. I want to say, Patricia, thanks for listening to the show, and I apologize I wasn't able to meet up with you. But I always will keep encouraging everybody. Leave a message. I got a voicemail box, link in all the show notes, or drop me a line, or let me know if you come through town. It's always a pleasure to try to meet up with other people in this community, if I'm able to. Sorry I wasn't able to make that happen this time, but thank you so much for listening. And thank you, my friend, for spending your time here with me today. One reminder, we can do hard things. That was another thing that came up during the interview, something I mentioned I read in the children's book, and something that I think is another great reminder coming out of this to remind ourselves we can do hard things. Sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed and think we aren't able to do certain things. And I just love that mantra, we can do hard things. So, you know, all these things, as I mentioned time and time again, when I share these things on the show, one big part of this podcast is that it just helps me stay in the right mindset. So when I'm saying these things, I hope it doesn't sound like preaching. It's really me reminding myself and just sharing with you what I'm reminding myself of after coming out of these conversations. And when I've been saying that to my kids recently, when they're doing something and they're a little tentative, like learning to ride a bike or whatever, I said, look at you, you can do hard things. And I say that and I go, I got to remember to say that to myself. I can do hard things when I feel stuck. So thought that was worth pointing out as we get out of this episode. One last thing, I'll leave you with a quote on fear that I just read today. That was a good one. It says, fear does not prevent death, it prevents life. That's from Naguib Mahfouz. I probably butchered that name, but I did the best I could. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week. Peace and love to you and yours. Cheers.
This podcast has been brought to you by ZeroToTravel.com. Ideas and advice to make your travel dreams a reality.